Brother Ian, I don't know where you're sitting. I can't see you in the dark. Oh, there you are. Okay. Today is a special day and a unique day for you. But every immersion service after today, you'll be thinking about, how have I done? How am I progressing? Am I getting more pleasing or less pleasing to the Lord? Because we all do it. It's a time of reflection. And it's really, even at this time of the year, it's the beginning of the new year. We think about what we can do for the Lord in the coming year. So we kind of think about renewing at that point as well. And we're also entering memorial season. We'll start our studies in a few weeks. And again, another time for considering renewal. So we thought we'd spend some time and go through a few precious promises that God has given to each of us that address different aspects of our renewal. One of the things you can get from your brethren with experience is advice. And experience is not only in the kind you hear in testimonies, but in personal experiences. And they'll tell you about the things that where they've succeeded, and some will even tell you about the things where they've been miserable failures. Not all of us are that open with our personal failings, but some of our brethren noticeably were. I think of our dear sister Joy being willing to tell us and voice her opinion where she felt she was coming short of serving the Lord. And boy, was that helpful. Not because you take it in the aspect that, oh, gee, I'm not doing so bad. I have problems with that too. But you see a different perspective on it. You see why an individual, one of our brethren, had trouble with this and why I should be looking out to do better along those lines. So we're going to consider some of the precious promises. We're going to sing several hymns together. Today you're going to be all sung out by the end of the day because we sung a little bit more in the first meeting as well. But let's start off our meeting with a prayer of humility. That's Sister Karen. Would she read that for us? Thank you.
I am praying, blessed Savior, to be more and more like Thee. I am praying that the Spirit, like a dove, may rest on me. I am praying, blessed Savior, for a faith so clear and bright that its eye will see the glory through the deepest, darkest night. I am praying to be humbled by the power of grace divine, to be clothed upon with meekness and to have no will but Thine. I am praying, blessed Savior, and my constant prayer shall be for a perfect consecration that shall make me more like Thee.
Make me more like Thee. Not only... Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't have that up there for you. I've got the readings will be on the screen as well, so you can kind of follow along. One of the most incredible things is considering the calling of God and this opportunity that He's given to us, and still remaining humble in that. But do we really grasp this incredible opportunity? Consider the enormity for a moment of our God. He's the creator of everything around us and Lord over it. The universe has unfathomable complexity, yet all parts of it work together over eons of time to produce an environment for the human race. A marvelous place, not just to dwell for 50, 75, or 100 years, but a place to dwell for the world of mankind for eternity. We're an incredibly small instance in the grand magnitude of God's creation, a speck of a speck of a speck. and maybe even a few more on top of that. And yet, the earth is an oddity. It's not found many, if any, places else in the universe. It's a tranquil island in a vast sea of destructive forces and energy sources, so vast that the Lord's provided that they will last for billions of years without growing dim, even though they output constantly this incredible amount of energy that forms lights in the sky and warms our earth. And yet the creator and master of this calls you not just to serve him during this age, but he's calling you to serve, to be on the same plane as him. Yes, and even to inherit the very nature of God. Think of it, just a speck of a speck of a speck. He calls each of us, not as a group, but he calls us individually. Some of us that he calls are in or barely out of our teens. Some are middle-aged. And even a few are in the elderly years. But each was called at the right time for them individually and for the church class individually to develop the experiences needed by that sympathetic high priest. Let's sing together hymn 306A, Jesus Calls Us. Let's have Sister Jane Jesuit read a precious promise to us from John 15:16.
Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, John 15:16. The world does not like those chosen ones because, confessing their own weaknesses and striving against them, they call them by their proper names, sins, meannesses, filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Every effort made by these to cleanse themselves is a reproof to others who are not striving to cleanse themselves and who hate to be reminded that the things in which they take their greatest pleasure are greed, selfishness, inordinate affections, strifes, pride, vainglory. Whoever is fully satisfactory to the world may be sure that he is not satisfactory to the Lord. Whoever is satisfactory to the Lord need not expect to be satisfactory to the world. For the fellowship of this world is enmity to God, and therefore the world is not subject to the divine standard, neither indeed can be. Its heart is in the other direction.
What a magnificent opportunity lies before us. So you've been called. Now what do you do? Well, Brother Peter gave you some excellent admonitions this morning. But what you really want to do, but what you really have to do is simple. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And Jesus reiterated this thought, this principle. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. In Matthew, he said five times to different individuals to follow me. In Mark and Luke, four more times. And in John, six times. This is a simple admonition on the outside, and yet it's complicated in the execution of it. But the principle is always the same. Take up thy cross and follow me. Let's sing hymn number 279, Take Up Thy Cross. Thinking over our consecrations in this morning as Brother Ian was immersed and as we listened to the words of Brother Peter, we were all turning it over in our minds, where we have been, thinking of the zeal we had when we first entered the way, thinking over the successes we had, perhaps even in witnessing, and while regretting the opportunities that we sometimes let pass. I'm sure we all feel we could have and should have done better in many of these situations. And it's easy for the old mind to speculate, how could the Lord forgive me for that trespass? But the new mind seeks to look to the promises of God and evaluate them in its place. We'll ask Sister Sue Surrey to read us another precious promise from Hebrews 4:16.
Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 4:16. But to have this help in need of this help in time of need, we must invoke it. Every day and every hour is indeed a time of need. Hence our necessity of living in an atmosphere of prayer. To pray without ceasing. Those who are the Lord's true people feel so aggrieved at their failures that they are promptly led to the throne of grace, that they may obtain mercy and find grace to help in future time of need. But others take their failures lightly and fail to profit by them accordingly. The sentiment of the consecrated is well expressed by the poet who says, "Oh, may no earth-born cloud arise to hide thee from thy servant's eyes."
Thank you, Sister Sue. And another along the same line. The next reading will be from Sister Tamara Blackwell, and it'll be the slide that's on the screen.
Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward.
No, that's okay. That scripture's in front of this. Go ahead.
Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Hebrews 10:23. The apostle's argument is that we should hold fast the faith which began our Christian life and which is also to be the finisher of our Christian life. The Lord is able to carry us through, and he will do it, for if we do our part. But the terms on which the Lord has received us are that we purpose to abide faithful. Hence, everything depends on our holding fast to this faith which we have professed, without wavering, without harboring any doubts and fears. And the basis of our faith in our ultimate triumph is the assurance that he is faithful that promised. We know that in the Bible there are exceeding great and precious promises for us. If therefore we hold fast to our faith, we may obtain all that God has promised to us. He will be faithful. He will not disregard his promises. He will do all that he has said.
So our purpose is to hold fast the profession of our faith and to constantly evaluate that and go to the Lord when we need be. Let's sing together hymn number 13, Self-Examination, as we examine our progress in the way. When as a result of self-examination we find certain areas of our characters that need improvement, need rededication, need more commitment from ourselves, no matter what the conclusion of the root cause, we know the root cause, the old man has got control of an aspect of our lives that we need to get the new mind in charge of. There's only one possible solution, really, to all of our issues, and that is to live closer to God. We need to incorporate him in our joy, in our sorrow, in our successes and failure, and in our uptime, and our downtime, in our quiet time, taking advantage of every opportunity we can to come to Him in prayer. If we're always looking to Him for direction, and we look to Him for approval, and we look to Him also for forgiveness for the times we come short of doing His will, we will do His will more often, more correctly, and be more blessed in every occurrence of it. Let's look at another precious promise given to us in James 4 and 8. And Sister Janine has that for us. Sister Janine Farrell.
Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. James 4, 8. Let us cultivate the Lord's acquaintance more, drawing near to Him in prayer, in the study of His precious word, in meditation upon all His goodness, His providential care, the marked manifestation of His grace in our own individual experiences, and His precious promises, which are all yea and amen in Christ Jesus. Thus, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. He will manifest Himself to you and take up His abode with you.
How do we do that in practicality? How do we draw nigh to God so that He will draw nigh to us? We have to look to God in a constant attitude of prayer by evaluating our circumstances in light of the new mind, not the old mind, the new creation, and not the old. The Father gives us experiences, and He gives us trials so that we may not only pass or fail, but learn from them. Experience is the best teacher. How often have you looked back at your failures and said, had I done this differently, the results would have been different. Maybe they wouldn't have been better. But the next time, we'll evaluate that opportunity, that different approach to facing a certain experience, and then try that and evaluate that result. This is an iterative process the Lord has given us to do. And why has He given us these trials after trials and allow us to iterate to find the proper response to a given situation? He does that because of the nature of the mind He's given us that's capable of reasoning with the Creator of the universe. It's an amazing thing. We just don't really appreciate how much intellect God has placed in man versus what He's given the animals. They react strictly in the moment to the circumstances they have, and maybe they react a little bit to the seasons as further input to that. But we analyze things and we perceive things from multiple different aspects, and it gives us the ability, God has given us the ability to use that intellect to make these decisions. So we have to do this living nearer to God and incorporating Him into all these decisions. Let's sing hymn number 188, Nearer to Thee. Living nearer to God, it's something that we all desire to do, and it takes a lifetime of experience to do that. But I love that hymn so much because of the uplifting effect. It's like every verse we get closer, we get nearer. We're living closer to the Lord, and we get that more, that greater enthusiasm. We'll have Sister Lois read her precious promise. I apologize for that earlier. From 1 Peter 5:7.
Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. 1 Peter 5:7. These experiences the Lord permits for the very purpose of leading his people to cast their care upon him, of bringing them closer to himself, of teaching them patient endurance, of showing them more fully their need of him, their utter helplessness and wretchedness without him. Anxieties that would rob us of our peace in the Lord should be dropped. Not carelessly, however, but intelligently, with the thought that Jesus, our great burden bearer, has invited us, yea, urged us, to cast all our care, all that would disturb our peace, upon him. He will make our burden light and ease our tribulations. This is a test of faith and cannot be attained otherwise than through faith in his love, faith in his promises.
Jesus, Lois. This is an incredible thing the Lord does. First, he gives us the trials, and then the anxiety resulting from those trials, whether they be successful or not, he admonishes us to cast all that care, all that anxiety back on him. Look to him for leading. Look to him for blessing. And look for him to change the way we lead our lives and to be, in fact, nearer to him. We've asked Sister Tamara to read our next precious promise, the one by which all our promises are referred to, 2 Peter 4:7.
2 Peter 1.
No, yeah, 1. Oh.
Is it 1:47 or 1:4?
I think I typed it wrong on the slide. I think it's 1:4.
Okay. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. 2 Peter 1:4. By these, by obedience to them, oh, how wonderful that the great Creator should condescend not only to redeem sinners, but to urge, to entice them to receive his bounties and blessings. The exceeding great and precious promises are unfolded to us gradually, as we prove faithful and go on, in order that by these, by the strength and courage which they infuse, we may be enabled so to run as to obtain the prize.
God gives us the means by which we do obtain the prize. He gives us the experiences, then he says, cast the results on him. Don't keep these burdens within you. And I'm giving you all this encouragement. Look through your scriptures. Look for these promises. Look for this encouragement from the direct encouragement from the Lord for those things you do come short of, and the Lord will grant thee the peace that you're looking for. We're all striving for that one prize. We're running for the prize of the high calling. An incredible thing to be striving for, one that requires effort, one that requires literally a struggle for our very lives, for that is the only nature we can aspire to right now. But we're looking to that victory, to overcoming all those things that beset us. And there's another precious promise we have in John 5:4. The degree of our success, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. The degree of our success in this conflict against sin will depend largely upon the keenness of our faith and trust in the great teacher. If we feel confident in his wisdom, we will follow closely his instructions and keep our hearts and minds with all diligence Faith in the Lord's wisdom and help in every time of need is necessary to us in order that we may be thoroughly obedient to him. And hence it is written, "This is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith." That is to say, it will be by the exercise of faith and the obedience which flows therefrom that we will be enabled to come off conquerors and more than conquerors through him that loved us and gave himself for us. This is the victory that overcomes the world. The church class longs for it, has been longing for it for 2,000 years, and we know it will shortly come to pass. The church class will triumph over their foes and besetments, will complete the bride class, and the marriage will take place. Let's sing hymn number 310, Triumphant Zion. Possibly the most precious promise of those given to the church class is the one found in Revelation that we so often quote, that we use the, we keep it in our minds because this is what the Lord has promised us. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. It is not enough, the pastor tells us, it's not enough to make a good consecration. It is not enough for a time we fight the good fight. No, indeed. God is not accepting to the kingdom those who were once faithful. He desires to have those who were once faithful, who were faithful afterwards, and who are always faithful. He desires to have in the kingdom class those whom he can trust implicitly. Those to whom he can safely give the glory, the honor, and immortality that he has promised to the faithful. And before they receive this high reward and exaltation, they must be thoroughly tested and proven. The Lord has laid out just a marvelous program for the church class. From the beginning, with the symbolization of our consecrations, through the multitude of experiences, to dying the sacrificial death. He has in store for us just an incredible reward, the crown of life, immortality, the divine nature. In reaching that, we not only rely on our relationship with Him, we rely on our relationship with each other, our fellowship with each other, our oneness with each other, the encouragement we receive from each other, the sympathy when we have trials and besetments that one of our other brethren has undergone a similar incident and gives us the benefits of his experience with it. It brings us closer to the Lord, and it brings us closer to each other. Let's sing in closing hymn number 23, Christian Fellowship. We'll ask also at the end of this to ask Brother Sebastian Napchinski to close with a word of prayer. Hymn number 23.
Most kind, loving Heavenly Father, we come before Thee now with thankful hearts and joyous hearts to meet together again this week to discuss the wonderful glories of Your plan and the part which we have the blessing to partake in. And we are ever thankful for our new brother, Brother Ian, and we ask that You guide him and give him everything he needs to be the most pleasing unto You that he can. And we ask the same for each of us who are striving for the prize of the high calling. We ask now that you be with each and every one of us as we part for this next week, that we may be refreshed and renewed in our passion in the Lord and in you. And we ask for blessings upon those who are going through severe trials and difficulties, and please be with them and comfort them. And we ask it all in Jesus' most precious name.